Hey guys, it's Rachel here, back with another interview. Today I'm joined by the woman responsible for the next generation of lionesses. Emma Coates has been in the England setup since 2017, first leading the under-19s and now the under-23s. Her squad shared a training camp with the seniors in Marbella last month, and a select few from the squad trained with the lionesses too. The under-23s age group was revived when Serena Wiegmann arrived at St George's Park, and it's been used as an essential bridge to the lionesses ever since. I wanted to chat with Emma about her role in all of this, how she deals with all of those young personalities and raw talents, but also how she fits into the bigger ecosystem at St George's Park alongside Serena. So today we're going to get the inside track on the Lionesses' talent factory. Let us know what you think on Twitter and Instagram, at @upfront_pod. Enjoy! Welcome to the pod, Emma. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to chat to you, so I'm good. Are you well?
I'm very well. I know good. Our listeners will be hearing this on the day of your first game in this international break against Sweden. But before all the players arrive, how do you and your team prepare? What's Emma Coates' routine looking like?
Busy. So I guess the preparation for camp starts, you know, as soon as the last camp finishes, really. It always starts with reviewing the last camp, both from a team point of view and a player point of view, getting out to games, looking at players, how are they performing? Is there, you know, it's not just the players that are on camp that we look at. We look at, you know, lots of different players, as well as then looking at the opposition, the camp schedules, linking in with the senior staff. So as much as sometimes we look really busy in the windows, we're super busy in between as well.
And if you've like a new player coming into the squad who maybe you haven't worked with before, how do you prepare for their arrival?
Yeah, I think it all starts with relationship building, right? So it always starts with a phone call, try and get to know them, pre-camp, chat with the club coaches, get as much information as we can to make them as comfortable as possible coming into camp. And then that sort of same on camp, try and sit down with them, get to know them and make them feel as easy as possible so that they can just focus on the football.
And tell us about the kind of impact that Spain training camp had, that lovely time out in Marbella. I was over there. The under-23s were shoulder to shoulder with the senior players and some even had a chance to train with them. What was that like?
Yeah, do you know what? It was brilliant. We talk all the time about the players, about how connected we are to the seniors, and most of that is off camp because obviously we're away in sort of different locations, in the same windows. It's difficult for Serena to get close to the seniors, close to the 23s. So the fact that the players, the 23s players, were able to see that, you know, bump into Serena in the corridor and Serena, you know, knew them and was able to chat to them. And I think the players, obviously a lot of each other sort of know each other through their club performances and their club games. But just to have that really close-knit community and to demonstrate how close we work together, I think was really nice. I think it whet the appetite of a few, particularly, you know, Aggie was in the match day squad. I think we had four of us go over across and train. And I think people are chomping at the bit now to kick on and hopefully, you know, make that step up.
Do any of the senior players kind of take the under-23s under their wing? Is there anyone in particular that is quite good at that?
Do you know what? I think they all are. When we sat down and it sort of, I told some of the players that they were going across to the seniors, the first thing was, oh my God, you know, it was a little bit scary, a little bit nerve-wracking. And actually, I'm like, you play against these players week in, week out. You know, that they're first and foremost nice people. They've got a really good environment. And straight away, they're like Naomi after, I think she said to you guys in some of her media stuff, she thought it wasn't actually as scary as what I thought. But, you know, put them in an England tracksuit and maybe adds a bit of pressure. And I bumped into on the morning that they all went across the train, I think it was Hannah Hampton, and she was like, where's you know, this player and that player, I want to go and speak to them. So I think as a whole, the whole culture environment around the team and then just having good people makes that a little bit easier for them.
Serena Wiegmann's latest squad features two players you've had in the under-23s up until quite recently, so Jess Park and Grace Clinton. Tell us about Jess first. How much has she improved this season compared to when you first started working with her?
Oh, absolutely. Do you know, my path with Jess actually crossed a long time ago. When she played at York City in the RTC, I was at Leeds United. And, you know, I've watched Jess grow as a player from the age of probably 12 right through. You know, more shorter term, she came back and did a camp with us for the 23s. And I think when a little bit of confidence and opportunity met, that then came with, you know, a spring and a step and performances, and you know, she's rightfully been rewarded for that. So it's really nice when you see that journey of the players, and same for Grace.
Yeah, she of course made her debut in February, and then you awarded her with her legacy cap. How did it make you feel seeing her excel so much in that first game?
Yeah, do you know what, it was so nice, and it didn't surprise me. You know, they rightly so get, you know, selected for the seniors on merit and performance, and because they're good enough. So the fact that she's gone on and done so well didn't surprise me. But, you know, it's so nice to have played a really small part in her journey and seen her progress and to be there, because normally we don't have that chance. And, yeah, when Serena and Anya sort of came and said, you know, do you mind presenting the cap? I thought that was a really nice touch as well, and sort of shows the productivity of the 23s programme.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you've had quite a hand in a lot of people. You've worked with the England players at under-19 level as well, of course. Mm-hmm. What's the key, do you think, to players making that leap between the lower age groups to the seniors? And how important is that under-23s kind of stepping stone?
Yeah, do you know, I think it's so important that the gap between the 19s and the seniors is huge. The gap from, same in club football, from the 21s programme through to the first team. So they need that stepping stone. They need someone to keep them warm and work with them, so that when they are ready, you know, the speed of things, the speed of the game, the intensity, the amount of decisions they need to make, the pressure that they're under is significantly different. Hopefully, you know, people have tried to see what we've done with the 23s programme that, you know, is a step up from the 19s programme and tries to mirror the senior programme. And particularly with the seniors as well, we've got such a depth of young talent with the seniors, you know, and so many young players. Actually, I think it's really exciting. So the 23s, as much as it's around accelerating our best players, it's also around keeping the players that are closer prepared, so that, you know, when the opportunity does come, they can, you know, step in into that environment with ease.
Yeah, because I remember looking at that senior squad back in February and thinking there was quite a few that would still technically be eligible to play on the under-23s. How do you and Serena work together in terms of identifying those players to promote from one squad to the other?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, firstly, we work so closely together. So we meet with Serena weekly. I mean, I think I've spoken to her twice today already about a couple of bits. And I think the 23s programme, where it differs from the seniors, you know, the seniors have to win now, don't they? They're qualifying for competitions. They want to win major tournaments. Our job and my job with the 23s is to help us prepare to win for tomorrow. So, you know, we've got players that we go, can we try and get them competing for places and positions for, okay, the qualifying games, but for Euro 25, and then even longer than that. So I think our decision making goes into a little bit of performance and potential. And then Serena's lens is probably, you know, a lot more weighted towards performance now, and, you know, how we use our experience and evidence and, you know, lots of different network of people in the FA to make those decisions and put the player in the middle of that. You know, I'd like to think we get a nice balance across both squads of the seniors are absolutely ready to compete right now. And you know, I'm sure they'll go and do the business in the next window, and we're sort of longer term and looking at, you know, who's going to, like Kira said in one of her interviews, hopefully going to take their places.
Yeah, how does that, like, I guess, work in terms of, do you have that freedom of identifying players, maybe younger players or players that haven't maybe had that opportunity before but are now performing, to kind of bring them into the youth levels? Or is there always that conversation first at senior level, that's the ultimate goal, is that you want to be preparing players to ideally be ready for senior level?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not an exact science, is it? That's why I actually think sometimes the decision making with the younger players is harder, because we don't have a crystal ball, and my job would be, you know, have a lot, hell of a lot easier if I did. So I guess you know, a big part of it is conversations with Serena on, okay, who's on their radar now. We'll start putting players on their radar and go, you know, this player's doing really well, we think they're getting closer, this is what we're working with them on. There might be players, you know, they're out at games week in, week out. We'll go into a meeting on a Monday and they might ask, you know, we saw so-and-so play, what's your thoughts of her, how's she getting on? So it really is a collaboration of both our experiences and you know, where the players at. And then not only am I sort of, you know, that bridge to the seniors, I guess I'm also the bridge down. So it's not only my job to look up, it's to then look down and go, well, what's coming through? Because do we need to go and find, you know, someone in a certain position or whatever it might be? Or actually, is there someone coming through the pathway? You know, every month we've got an insights team that do sweeps across the entire world and go, is there anyone that we've missed? And I think, was it the stat from the last World Cup? I think we were the only nation that had all our players were capped and played minutes in our pathway, and we were the only team in the world to have that. So we're incredibly proud of our pathway and scouting that comes alongside it.
That connectivity, I guess, you know, because obviously we've talked a lot about the under-23s stepping up, but that connectivity from the under-19s stepping up, you know, mm-hmm. you've said before about how important that connectivity is for squads and coaches, I suppose, at St. George's Park. Mm-hmm. So how does it work if you're not kind of all there together all the time?
Yeah, I think firstly there's opportunities across every window where we have that natural connection. So our first camp of the year in September, we were at St. George's Park with the under-19s. So that was a nice crossover there and an opportunity. We then obviously had the chance for the seniors in February. And then I guess it's just our workflow. So, you know, a big part of the seniors have got their workflow that we dip our, you know, toes in and support. And then we've also, you know, I've got a really good relationship with John, who's obviously working with the under-19s. I've worked in the pathway, so I have a lot of good relationships with the staff there. And, you know, we just have to work together. If we don't work together, then it's not a pathway, is it? It's 4 or 5 individual England teams.
Yeah, of course. And for you personally as a coach, like, what's it been like having that connectivity, I suppose, and the opportunity to work closer together with all of the squads? I guess, has that always been in place, or with the under-23 squad now, is there even more of a desire to make sure that that connection is there?
From coming in, I think I've been in this role 6.5 years now. When I come into the building, we still had the same connection. It was just different people. And I think that evolves over time, right? So I look at when I come in, I was working really closely with Mo Marley and Rhianne Skinner, sort of in the PDP phase. And that we then don't work in sort of split phases anymore. It's more of a streamed pathway. And I think just the way my role has naturally evolved from the pathway through into the seniors, so getting closer to the seniors, means that I'm a little bit more connected to that end of the pathway than perhaps previously. I don't think it's one of those realistically to get everyone in the room at the same time. I think it's just the natural crossover, and that's where the 23s program is really important, because you've got, you know, the youth teams, the senior teams, and then, you know, the team that probably bridges both ends of that.
And you've touched on it there about kind of being the only federation, I suppose, that had their players capped. When do you feel that there was a real shift in that? Because, you know, a lot of international teams or other national teams have kind of touched on the England setup, or how England have kind of, I guess, really capitalized on that Euros win. Like, it mm-hmm. seems to be across the board. Did you kind mm-hmm. of recognize when that was, or is it something that's been building over time?
Yeah, I think it's definitely been, I think it's like the whole game, isn't it? I don't think you can go, I think that was certainly a catalyst to maybe shift up a gear and get, you know, more support, investment, other bits that helps with some of the performance stuff. But I think it's been a programme that's grown over time. You've had, you know, you look at Kay, who's now our technical director. She started as the under-15s coach, and it looked very different then. But at the time, I'd say we were still world leading. You've then got, you know, Mo Marley and all the work that she's done. And I think it every stage that we're at, I think we just reflect where the game's at. And I think now, you know, we're reflecting where the game's at, and I think we're still leading in a lot of areas. And, you know, the productivity of the players that we're producing isn't just down to England, it's down to a lot of the work that the clubs are doing as well. And that's where the collaboration with them becomes really important too.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
What is your view of the next generation of England players coming through? They've big shoes to fill, but I'm sure a lot of exciting talent there.
Oh, absolutely. I say it every year that the young players coming through are just getting better and better. You know, their club programs from a younger age are getting stronger, are getting better, so they're getting more early experiences. The support that they're getting, the amount of support, the amount that they're training. So that goes hand in hand with the players getting better. And then the other side is that the game is, you know, I look back when I was a player and I come through the Centre of Excellence, it maybe wasn't as, you know, clear that I could be a professional football player, and hence why I got into coaching really young. Whereas you look at the players now, and you know, I think it's really exciting, the opportunities, the career opportunities, all the other stuff that, you know, they've got the right support and program wrapped around them. They've got the hunger and the appetite to get there. And I think those two things combined means that we're producing really good players. And I think we've got a really competitive, you know, nation in terms of, you know, look at the depth and, you know, we work longer term. So while Serena and the seniors are looking at, you know, Euro 2025, we're looking at, well, who in the 16, 17s could be, you know, 27, 32 and really looking longer term. You know, it's looking healthy and exciting.
Well, that's what we like to hear. In terms of that kind of growth of the game across the country, and I guess, you know, young girls having more access to football, is it too soon to reap the rewards of that, or are you slowly starting to see more, I guess, a wider pool?
Yeah, I think we're absolutely seeing a wider pool of players, and, you know, we've always worked really hard, and there's a lot of work going on in the FA to try and widen the base from a numbers point of view. I think if we naturally get more people, then the funnel of players coming through will be better. We're trying to, you know, get a more diverse playing pool as well. So we've got our regional talent managers, we've got the Discover My Talent programme. There's a lot of really, really good work going at the start of the programme, which hopefully will keep this, you know, flood of players coming through. And the more players we get is healthy for the game. Hopefully a lot of them stay in the game and hopefully helps us make better players.
Yeah, and you touched on it there. You know, I know the England squad hasn't been particularly diverse in the last few years. And there are efforts being made as part of that to try and increase mm-hmm. that, aren't there? Are we starting to see more diverse players coming through?
I think so, yeah. I think, you know, a lot of the work going on with the Discover My Talent, the regional talent managers, you know, all the emerging talent centres that we've had, we've increased the number of those environments that players can go. And the regional talent managers, you know, their job is to try and find those players and people that are in those hard-to-reach areas and give them the opportunities, remove the barriers. And I think over time, you know, you look down the pathway at the lower end, I think we do have a more diverse playing, you know, playing pool. It's going to take time for that to maybe filter through, you know, to the top. But I think there's definitely some really good initiatives. And I'd say for the staff as well, I think we've got a wider, you know, both from a diversity point of view, but cognitive diversity point of view. So that's something that we're working really hard towards.
Yeah, because I guess, you know, when we talk about barriers, and like, yes, of course, the game is growing and improving, but there are still those barriers that exist. Mm-hmm. And you must kind of worry, I guess, that there's potential really good talent that you're missing out on at grassroots level or maybe reaching the elite game too late.
Yeah, and that's where our technical talent coaches that work in the regions, their jobs are so important because, you know, their first experiences in our pathway or the opportunities that they get, the support they get is what's going to help them, you know, come up to the level that we're working at. And yeah, their job is so important because they're the ones that sometimes they maybe don't get the accolades that they deserve, but they're the ones on the front line, you know, trying to actively remove those barriers.
You mentioned earlier that you got into coaching young. What advice mm-hmm. would you give to younger people that want to go into coaching? And is it like another realistic yeah. pathway now for young people? You know, in the past, it wasn't realistic to want to be a player. Is it a realistic opportunity now for young people who want to get into the game, who maybe aren't looking at the playing side of it?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I started coaching when I was 15, 16 and never looked back really. I found it so addictive working with people, helping people, still being part of the game. I personally wasn't a fan of the gym and the hard work that came with playing. And then you get to the level you're at now and you're like, oh, actually, maybe coaching is actually harder work. You know, you don't really have a day off and you're working every hour God sends, but it's so addictive and so good. I'm like, it's it's a way to be as close to the pitch as possible without being the ones actually on the pitch. So, you know, I'd highly recommend it, but it doesn't come without its headaches, for sure.
No, I'm sure. And it's been a year and a bit since you were appointed coach for the under-23s. Mm-hmm. How do you think you have developed as a coach since in that time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, not many people get to say that they're working closely and really connected to, you know, the FIFA world's best coach, I think, four times running. So, you know, being able to learn off Serena and Ian and look at how they see the game and the similarities to, you know, their Dutch culture that they brought into the building and some of their experiences, I think has been fantastic for me personally. You know, I think I've had quite a varied coaching pathway, from working grassroots, picking up cones for 5 to 11 year olds, to every age group in Centre of Excellence, every you know, development team at England. So I'm constantly learning, constantly evolving, because the game's constantly evolving. You know, I'm still really young, so it'd be naive of me to think that I'm the, you know, perfect ready-made sort of coach, and to be around, you know, people like Serena day in, day out. Yeah, I'd be foolish not to learn from her.
Have you picked up any of that Dutch directness?
Yeah, starting to. Do you know? It's interesting, because I learnt the other day that there's certainly the regions in Holland, depending if you're from the west or the east, I think it depends on your directness. And I learnt that Serena and I are from different regions, which I thought was interesting. Because I think
that is interesting. Oh, okay, I didn't realise that. I feel like I should have known that. I did live there for a year, but they just all. I feel like they all just seem quite direct compared to the rest of us, maybe. I quite enjoyed it personally.
Yes. Yeah, it's good.
In terms of coaching international, you know, say versus in a club, how do you adapt to all the turnover of different players? Because I guess, you know, you don't have them really for that long. Is that something you embrace and learn from, and then kind of, I guess, can implement when the new player comes in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's a balance, isn't there, between having to be really clear and concise and have real clarity over how you want to play, your principles of play, how you want to work, and then ultimately how do you maximise the time. So any game, this is the same for, you know, we have literally two training sessions to prepare a group of players that play their football in a completely different way, completely different style, week in, week out with their clubs. So the consistency of our style of play, the language that we use, you know, how clear are we with the information that we give in the players, I think has a really big part for how we maximise the time. And it's interesting, because obviously this season we've had Neats and Remy working with us, which have been great additions. I've sort of come from a very different background to me and Gemma, and you know, I'll take it as a compliment. Remy was there and she was like, everything we do and everything that we put on camp, she's like, it's so clear. She's like, as a player, she's like, I would know exactly what you want of me. And I think that's a compliment, because we have, what, 3 meetings and 2.5 hours on the grass. It's not a lot of time. So that's where the clarity and consistency and the pathway approach comes in. So whether it's players coming up from the 19s to the 23s, or, you know, players that have come across from the seniors back across to the 23s, if there's a consistent style of play, that makes that transition in and out easier. And then likewise, I think I spoke around it earlier, the connection with the players before they come into camp, and just making clear, this is how we want to play. This is, you know, we don't expect, and we can't expect them to pick it up straight away. But I think we do a pretty good job of it.
What do those kind of former players bring? You know, it must be something slightly different to say someone who's coaching alongside you that hasn't actually had that type of playing experience, particularly at that level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you know, it's been like our tech team in the 23s is so nice, because we've got such a varied range of experiences. So we've got myself and Gemma that have had a really similar pathway. We've, you know, coached from the age of 16 right through and have years of experience. You've got Neats and Remy that are newer in their coaching pathway, but just have experiences that we don't have. And then we've got our goalkeeping coach, Brownie. He played pro in the men's game. So sometimes we get into really interesting debates around me and Gemma going, you know, I think we could have done, I don't know, whatever it might have been turned here. And Remy's going, do you know how bloody hard that is to, you know, to do that on the pitch? And we're like, yeah, but we're trying to make the best players in the world. So we just get into some really interesting debates, because, you know, we're seeing it from, you know, a coach's point of view, and they've been there and they've lived it. And I think between us, we strike that really nice balance between, you know, that nice ideological, this is how we want the game to look, and the perfectism, I think that's a word, versus the reality of, you know, them being there and done it. And I think it's great for the players as well. You know, we've had a number of the young players, you know, just walking past and be like, you know, Rem needs, can I grab you for 5 minutes? And it's just more that connection of, you know, someone that's been there and done it and walked in their shoes.
So an opportunity not only for them to learn, but also, I guess, for you as staff to and coaches to learn as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big believer that you can learn off anyone. I think the best thing about football, what makes it the best game in the world, is it's a game of opinions, right? And through experience and credibility, some people's experience maybe have a slightly different weight, but, you know, the best thing about it is opinions. So to be able to have a really open group of people to be able to thrash things like that out, I think is really healthy.
Any interest in doing club football, or are you enjoying kind of international too much?
Yeah, do you know, I really, really enjoy my job at England. I'm really focused on developing the players that I'm working with. There's a lot of good young players. I loved my experience in WSL. You know, I think I was 25, chucked in at the deep end with a club that had no budget and, you know, scrapping for points at the bottom of the league. But I learned so much in that, and, you know, I'm super young. How old am I? 32. So at some point, you know, I've got hopefully another 30 years left in my career. Where that will take me, I don't know. But right now, I'm super happy. I work in a really good environment with really good players, really good people around me. But what the future holds, I don't know.
Well, I have to ask, what is a major ambition of yours in your coaching career? Give me one thing you'd love to do.
Do you know what? This is probably one of the first times in my career. It's not that I'm not ambitious. Every point in my career, I've always been looking at what next. And I think that's how I've gotten to the position that I'm in now. And it's probably one of the first points in my career that I've actually slowed down and gone, I'm not looking at what's next. I'm just trying to be present and go, how do I maximise the place that I'm in? And I honestly think that came through COVID. So during COVID, I had a little boy. I've got a three-year-old. And it sort of made me, in a really healthy way, slow down a little bit and go, you know, slow down, smell the roses. We're in a good place. There's no rush. Learn, get good at what I do, enjoy family life, and family life balance is important to me. So that's where we're at with that one.
That's quite a nice thing to be, though, because I'd say it's quite rare to be, you know, really content with what you're doing and really happy in your job. So that's a really nice place to be. And you're shaping the talent of the future, which is super exciting as well. It gets all of us very excited to know that they're in good hands.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so hard because I'm like, you know, do I see myself being in this job? I look at someone like Mo, who's done the job for years. Could I see myself doing that? Absolutely. Could I see myself moving on and going back into club? Absolutely. I'm so open to, I just love football and I love working with people. I love the game. I love the problem solving. I love working with people and helping them get better. And, you know, if that's best fit here for the rest of my career, then that's where it will be. And if opportunity meets somewhere else and it's the right fit for me as a coach and as a person, then I'd absolutely, you know, investigate that. So, I think it's an exciting time.
Yeah, absolutely. And that love of the game certainly comes across. We wish you the very best in wherever, whether you do go somewhere else in the future or you do become the next Mo Marley. Doesn't sound too bad, does it? Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been great to chat to you and hear all about your journey.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for listening. We are both back on Tuesday. In the meantime, you can find us on Instagram and X. Chloe is at morgie_89. I'm at Girls on the Ball, and we are at upfront_pod. You can also find us on YouTube at upfrontpod. See you next week.
Upfront is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.